Caroline, Willie, D-Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, and The Game Nashville app. We are live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studio, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook Sports. Joining us now is Elliot Friedman of TSN and the 32 Thoughts podcast. Elliot, I mean, a lot has changed since the last time that we chatted. The Predators traded away Nino Niederreiter, Tanner Jeannot for an absolute haul. Mikael Granlund last night, Matthias Ekholm earlier this week. I mean, Dylan David Poile has been dealing so far this week. So just kind of your thoughts on the Predators move that moves this entire week. And also, David Poile deciding to retire, Barry Trotz being named the new general manager. Whole lot's changed around here.
You know, I wish that I could have told you, Caroline, that all, like, even one third of this was going to happen last week. And it was wild. It was an absolutely crazy weekend. I think there were definitely some feelings that there were going to be changes in terms of players. And I don't think anybody was surprised about that. But just the overall tone of the organization and the kinds of things that happened, I have to admit, I was blown away. And, you know, I've got to say this. I think that one of the things that's happened here is that obviously this had been discussed for a little bit of time. Like, these kinds of things don't just happen out of nowhere and in a vacuum. But secondly, the one thing that David Poile has done here is he has cleared the decks for Barry Trotz to shape the Predators as he sees fit. He's cleared up a lot of some of the cap situations. He's added some draft picks. There's some flexibility here now. I think the most interesting thing that's going to happen here is what is the Predators' path? Like, when this season is over, what do they think about where they want to go? Is it a teardown? Is it a slight rebuild, retool? Like, where do we go from here? And I think we're kind of all wondering about that as things progress. Because this was a wild weekend. We're all still trying to come to grips with it.
Elliot Friedman is with us with Sportsnet. Elliot, this is no disrespect whatsoever to Mikael Granlund, but what in the world is the Pittsburgh Penguins' plan?
I think we're all trying. It's tough to hear no disrespect to someone with the rest of that question.
I know.
You know, I don't know yet. I think that the one thing I always say is that this time of year, I want to wait till it's over. I think oftentimes in this day and age, we want to react about something like 2 minutes after it happens or 10 minutes after it happens. I'm really careful at the trade deadline. I wait until the deadline clears. Because one thing I've learned over the years is that sometimes some of these things don't happen in a vacuum. It's not just about one move. It's about more than one move or something else coming along. So I want to see what it looks like when it's over, and then I'll make my decision. I'm not surprised that Pittsburgh would go for a player with term. I'm not surprised about that at all. I was surprised that Nashville wasn't put in a position where it had to retain. One thing about David Poile is that he's a grinder. And he's really grinded. If this is the way he's going out really true to form, because, you know, that's a heck of a deal for the Predators. And I was surprised there was no retention, but I will reserve judgment until I see what Pittsburgh looks like after the deadline.
We'll talk with Elliot Friedman. Now, Elliot, one, I had two questions, a two-part question here. One, how did they manage? How do you think they managed to keep, especially in this era of sports where nothing is kept a secret, no matter how much you try to keep it a secret, it gets out. But to have David Poile keep this so in wraps that no one found out until it actually happened. And then, have you ever seen a situation like this where a GM that is going out the door and passing the baton to the next GM, that he basically clears the deck for the next GM to make it his team?
Off the top of my head, Derek, I can't think of a situation where he cleared the deck like this, but I'm sure it's happened. I'd have to think about it. I can't imagine that this is the first time. But, like, the thing is, like, You know, like, Poyle's a smart guy. You know, he's a really smart guy. And I think that once they knew that this team, the one thing about him is, and he's shown this in his time in Nashville, is he is fearless. And we have talked about this before. Like, just some of the sheer trades he's made for the massive nature of them, he's not afraid to put himself out there. And I would guess that once he realized and the organization realized that this was not going to be the year, he's not going to be afraid to be aggressive in this is what we need to do. And so I'm betting that's exactly what happened. That once the decision was made and once they knew Trotz was coming in, the two of them sat down with ownership and said, this is what the plan is going to be. And ownership, ownership would approve it. And because Poyle is aggressive, Derek, he's a guy who can do that. As for the secrecy of it, I am a little surprised it was kept as quiet as long as it was. I think that what happened is at some point in time, whether people start to be told, you can keep a decision in a small circle, and I think they did. But eventually the circle widens. More people hear. Like on Sunday morning in Arizona, they played there, and I think they informed the players. Mm-hmm. And the players are in shock, and they're like, did you hear this? And that's how I think it eventually got out, was that I just think eventually they had to widen the circle. I think the other thing, too, that happened was, you know, Barry Trotz, people were wondering, was he going to coach again? And the rumors started going from, yeah, he's going to coach next year. He might coach until later in the season. And then people started saying, you know what, I don't think Barry Trotz is going to coach again. And people were like, why? You know, he's a hell of a coach. And so I think between all of those factors, eventually you can't keep the circle as tight as you would like to.
Talking to Elliot Friedman, and Elliot, greetings from Florida. As we continue to take all this in, it's been really interesting to watch how the team tries to roll with all of these things that happen, and they've happened so fast. But is it safe to say that it's got to be considered a seller's market, doesn't it? Just a few weeks ago, I just don't think I could have comprehended the return for some of these guys that were out there on the trade block.
I think it's actually a bit more of a buyer's market, to be perfectly honest. But I think if you have a good piece, you can make it work. Like, we've seen a lot of first round picks get traded. If you have a good piece, you can always make it work. I think one thing you're going to see, Willie, is when it's over, there's going to be some teams with players that they wanted to trade that they didn't trade. I think, again, and I would credit David Poyle for this, I think he recognized that and he was like, we are in. And we have a target. And I don't think this was a situation where David Poyle was saying, I'm really here. Like, if I get close to what I want, I'm going to negotiate a little bit more. Like, I do think that happens at this time of year. People play poker and they're like, oh, I think I've got the best hand, but I think I could squeeze a little bit more out of that guy or squeeze a little bit more out of that guy. I think that's what Arizona was doing. But I think David Poyle got into the card game and he said, these are my targets. And if I get close, we're not screwing around. We're getting these deals done. And because the thing is, all of a sudden on Saturday, and then the Saturday, the Niederreiter news breaks, Sunday, the Poyle news breaks, and then Ekholm gets dealt. And, you know, people are calling the Predators like crazy. These deals get done pretty quick. And David Poyle's in there and he's like saying, I'm not here to haggle. Here's my price. Here's what I'm willing to do. And if you're going to do this, we can make a move. And I think that's kind of what happens, Willie, is that you can sense you have a motivated general manager, somebody who's motivated to do some work. And is there a little bit of haggling? Yes, but he has a bar. And when he gets to that bar, he's making the deal. He's not haggling any further.
So I know that you've put out there, and I think it's with the acquisition of Cal Foote, you can see a possibility that Dante Fabbro is still out there Do you see anything else? I know yesterday wasn't quite as crazy as what we saw maybe Saturday and Sunday around the league, but like what do you think is the next step, and how do the Predators figure into that?
Well, I think I think the Kings, before they made the deal for Korpisalo the other night, I think they called you guys on Saros, but I don't think that went very far. I don't think that's something that you guys are really that eager to do. I think people know that Yossi's not going anywhere and Forsberg's not going anywhere, and I don't think Saros is going anywhere. Like someone said to me, if you see that guy get traded, you're going to look at the deal, you're going to say, holy smokes. So I don't think he's going anywhere either. But, I think one of the biggest challenges right now, Willie, is that a lot of the players that we thought were going to get traded, they've already been traded. So now we're trying to figure out, what's next. I think people know the Predators are open for business. If there's someone they like on that team, just call and they'll tell you what they're thinking. So I think the way that, you've traded a lot of really good pieces already, aside from Favreau or maybe a McDonough who has a no trade clause. I think everybody knows, I don't know what would be at the top end still remaining necessarily, but everybody knows if they see someone on Nashville they like, call the Predators because they're willing to listen, except for on three guys, really.
What about Kevin Lankinen? He's going to get the start tonight. And
yep.
I wonder about him signing a one-year deal, and I think it was pretty much made clear to him that, look, he I think he came in with the goal. I'm going to back up for a year. It's a one-year deal, but he would like to be a starter again someday in the league. So mm-hmm. But I heard your podcast earlier this week. You say the market isn't necessarily great for goalies right now.
It isn't. Like, if you take a look at it, the teams who needed goalies were the Kings. They've made their move. The Golden Knights, because of injuries, now they've made their move with Quick. So I'm just wondering who else needs a goalie. Like, that's the one thing I'm looking at right now is who else is going to be in the market for a goalie at this time. And I don't know. I never say never, but if there's someone that's that obvious, I'm not seeing it right now.
What do you know about Reed Schaefer? The Predators are getting all these draft picks, and that's great, and we'll see what they do with them, but there's not a whole lot of guys that are actually people. In fact, Tyson Berry is another one I want to get your thoughts on, but first, what do you know about Reed Schaefer, a guy who was a first-round pick, so having a good year in Seattle, but what's the word on him as you project?
Well, I think that, I'll tell you one thing, I know that when Chicago was talking to Edmonton and earlier this year about some of the moves that they were talking about, like Jake McCabe and Lafferty and those guys, they asked for Reed Schaefer, and Edmonton turned him down. So this was a player that Edmonton was not easily willing to give up. I think that's a really good sign for you guys, is that this is not a prospect that the Oilers were saying, take him from us, we don't like him. I think they turned down at least one trade for him already. The best thing I can tell you about him is that sometimes when kids are big, they don't skate as well. He doesn't have that problem. And I remember when he was drafted last year, the word on him was late bloomer. And people told me, if you're patient with him, he will reward you. So I think, anytime you have a guy who's big and can skate and has a good reputation for being unafraid to play in hard games, and that team is a good team, they're going to play in a lot of big games, you have something. I don't know if he's going to be like a superstar or anything like that, but I think he's going to be a good player for a very long time. And the word I got was, if you're patient with him, he will reward you. Now, as for Tyson Berry, I'm going to tell you guys that from a media point of view, you guys are going to love him. He is one of the best. Like, everywhere he's gone, Colorado, Toronto, Edmonton, he has been one of the most popular players on the team. He's a really nice guy. He's a really funny guy. And I don't think, I'll tell you, a couple weeks ago when Edmonton was taking a shot at Erik Karlsson. There was a player there who told me that they would be concerned if Barry would go in that deal, just because he had become one of the inner circle. He, like, in each team, there's sort of like the leadership group or leadership council, whatever you want to call it. And in Edmonton, he had become a big part of theirs, along with the likes of McDavid, Draisaitl, Darnell Nurse, and Zach Hyman. He, you know, Barry was a big part of that. And I think while Edmonton was really excited to get Ekholm for all the reasons you know, I know that personally as a team, those players were really sore to see Barry go. He's a tremendous offensive player. You know, I mean, you guys have Josi, so I don't know how much he's needed to run a power play, but he's a really skilled offensive player. And just as a person, he's as good as it gets. So, you know, you guys, from a media point of view, you'll really love him. I'm sure this isn't easy on him, but he's a heck of a person.
Elliot Friedman is with us. Elliot, last one for you. The Predators now have 13 picks in this year's draft, the most that they've had in 20 years. I know about one certain name in this year's draft I've heard a whole lot about, but the rest of the draft, what is your take on the depth in this year's draft?
Well, I don't get a chance to watch a lot of the prospects, but I will tell you this. The people who watch them a lot more than I do say that this is a very, very strong draft. If you're going to have a lot of picks, this is the one to have it in. And even though there's the guy at the top, Bedard, I think there's a few more real talented players, like difference makers, nobody on his level, but other guys that are very, very good. And there's a lot of talent in this year's draft. So especially high, and you guys are going to have a pretty high pick, you're going to get a good player there and probably more than one.
Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, the 32 Thoughts Podcast. Appreciate you for hanging out with us. We'll chat with you next week.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. And I wonder if it'll be a little quieter for the Predators this time.
I don't know. I thought that. I thought surely we're slowing down at some point, but that has not been the case. Oh, I hope we'll sleep tonight. Well, I appreciate you, Elliot. We'll chat with you next week. We'll get into what Elliot had to say coming up next. Again, another big move for the Predators last night. What does that mean for this team moving forward? All of that coming up next. Caroline Willie-DeMace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.